As always, thank you, Ben. Great job. Bev whispered to me a moment ago and said, if everybody would listen to that first thing in the morning, it'd be a different world. Huh? I think so. Thank you. Well, I am so glad. You don't know how glad I am to get to be back with you today and share with you after being gone last Sunday. Everything's going well with my back, and I'll be running marathons here before long. Been a while since I've done that too. I want to begin with a couple of quotes. One comes from Scripture out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which as you know is often called the love chapter. But verses 10 through 12 tell us this. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only in a reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall fully know, even as I am fully known. And the second quote is from Charles Fillmore. The will is the executive faculty of the mind, the determining factor in man. What man wills or decrees comes to pass in his experience. I'm really glad that Bev did such a great job last week of laying the foundation for this month and looking at will. She did a great job, didn't she? Yeah. I didn't finally get around to listening to her sermon until yesterday afternoon, and she came in and saw me doing it and ran out of the room. I got to tell the story. You know the story about our meeting and all of that kind of thing, but one of the things that you don't know is that after Bev came back home and we were waiting to go to Orlando together after the weekend, I sent her flowers. And I had gone online and listened to her sermon from the week before. And she had mentioned, Samson was courting this lady, and one of the ways of being nice back then was to send a goat. Go figure. So I sent her flowers and I put on the card, I thought about sending a goat. And when she realized I had gone in and listened to her sermon from last week, she was just terrified by that. But I did it again yesterday and it was great both times. So thank you, sweetheart. But again, she laid a good foundation for looking at will. As you know, will is one of our, what we call 12 powers. And, you know, I've come to believe that will was perhaps the first power that got activated in humankind. And I'll tell you why. I think that all the theology that we have from every different direction, every denomination, every religion, every approach to spirituality is an attempt to understand what is beyond our understanding. The Bible is a compilation of stories about humankind trying their best to do that, to understand what this is all about, what this crazy world is all about. And any system that you know of, any teaching is just that. So I want to share with you this morning one of my ideas about my attempt to understand some of this stuff that goes on around us and how things really work, because when it comes down to it, when we get down to the absolute essentials of our beingness and the existence of this world and everything else, it's pretty much still a mystery. And we try to find some way to explain that so we can wrap our heads around it and let that be at peace. And I've been doing that for almost 50 years now, and I still got work to do. But one of the things I recently began to think about was how we came to be. And we don't really know a lot about that. The Bible doesn't tell us a lot about that. So my thinking about that, my imagining about that, my trying to find a way to explain that and have some idea about that goes a little bit like this. And again, this is my stuff, so take it with however big a grain of salt you need to and use it as a point of reference for your own thinking, either to say no, or maybe so. But in the beginning, that's how the Bible starts. In the beginning, what I call spirit, you may call it God or Allah or Brahman or any of the other countless names we have for the supreme being, the supreme deity. Let's use spirit. That's what we most commonly use around here anyway. Spirit was in a creating mood. And out of spirit's self was formed an idea, a divine idea of humankind. So this divine idea of humankind was put into form. And out of that divine idea came an individual, a seemingly individual and independent consciousness that was you and me. A seemingly independent and separate consciousness. And to that consciousness was given awareness and will. And that consciousness, that little spark of the divine, within the divine idea of humanity, within the mind of God, of spirit, that little spark of the divine was given an identity, a personality, if you will, a consciousness. And I think that little spark was given the awareness, the understanding of what it would mean to be human, to be incarnated down on the earth and live a life of being humankind. And each one of us had the opportunity to say, I will to live. And with that statement, that exertion, that expression of will, that's why I said I think it is the one of the first powers that we have activated in us. We said, I will. And then we were incarnated down here in our various forms and shapes and circumstances and situations. And we live our human lives. Now, one of the things that happens, I think, when we come to be incarnated is we tend to forget what came before. We forget where we came from. We forget some of the parameters of our being here. And life is really about, for those of us on the spiritual path, is about remembering that and figuring out what to do with it then. What do you do when you realize I'm primarily a spiritual being, and this human experience, which I've always thought was so important, is really secondary to my spiritual beingness. And we're able to do that because of our will. We're able to decree. We're able to say, this is the way it's going to be. And as Bev said last week, the will is kind of the CEO of our consciousness. The will is the place from which we say, this is going to happen. We express, we are deliberate, we are intentional. So here we are, the sparks of divine, seemingly independent and interdependent, having consciousness of ourself and having what we call free will. We have the authority, we have the power to speak creatively, to speak with power, to speak with authority, and to make things happen, to express things out into our world. And we go about doing that. Now, one of the interesting things about being here in this life is that without our deep consciousness being activated, without us being completely aware, life goes on. Have you ever known anybody who just kind of took things as they came, no matter what? Well, this happened, so what? This happened, so what? This happened, so what? And never getting bothered about it or try to change it or anything else. You can live like that. You can live your whole life without consciously exerting your will in any kind of dramatic way. It's built in so that life will continue to a point. And next week, I'm speaking this morning to you about will and life. Next Sunday, I'll be talking about will and challenge. And the next Sunday, about will and death. We're going to get to that at the end. So we can go through this life just letting things be. There's a saying we picked up down in the islands. It is what it is. And something happens, and you just go on your way. But there's another way that we can live. We can activate our will and live more deeply, as the song said a moment ago, the special music. Turn it up loud. Be involved, be engaged in what's going on around you. But we don't often do that to the degree that it is possible for us to do. And those of us on the spiritual path have already taken a step in that direction, certainly. But can we take a bigger step? Can we take a deeper step? And I really think so. So what I want to encourage you to think about this morning is saying, I will live the evolving life. I will live the evolving life. Now, your life's going to evolve anyway. Our bodies go through changing as we age. I'm working on that one too. I mean, that evolution happens. Our earth is evolving. Global warming happening. All kinds of things changing on the planet. Our demographic makeup of not only our country, but the whole world is changing as well, which is significant in a lot of ways. So the evolution is going to happen, but what I'm inviting you to do is to engage that evolution deliberately, intentionally, and to say, I will live, not just live and exist and go through the motions here, but I will live the evolving life. I will live that life. That is our power of will to be able to do that. So as we look at the evolving life that is ours, we can ask ourselves, how is it that I can be more involved, more deeply involved? How can I take more responsibility? How can I feel more comfortable living this life that's changing all the time? One of the ways is to be a part of that change, not letting it happen, but being a part of it deliberately, completely. So as we look at our everyday lives, we can ask ourselves, how is it that I can deliberately be a part of this evolving situation that I find myself in? Be aware of what's going on with you. When you find yourself getting too comfortable, you need to do something about that. I mean, we're always striving for comfort, right? We always want to be pain-free. That's one of the reasons I had this surgery, is to do something about the pain I was living with. I wanted to be pain-free. We want to be comfortable. We want to be stress-free, challenge-free. And we often go after that to the point that we miss some things. Because sometimes it's important for us to be uncomfortable to move to a different place. Change is always uncomfortable. Evolution is uncomfortable. And you may find some area in your life where you become so comfortable that you become static. And you need to look at that part of your life and say, I'm not happy with this. I'm not satisfied with this. This is something that I will change. I'm going to exert that demonstrating power of my mind. I'm going to use that creative power of my mind, and I'm going to deliberately change this thing in my life that I'm not satisfied with, that's not working for me now. And it may be something simple. It may be as simple as changing your diet, eating different things, changing your sleeping habits, those sorts of things. There was a time in my life where I stayed up all night about two or three times a week. I would not advise it. It usually ends up in migraines. So, but that was the way I was living, and that fit in everything I had going on in my life at that time. So it might be as simple as changing your sleeping patterns or eating patterns. It might be as simple as changing your exercise program, whatever it is, to find a place where you are able to step into that evolutionary flow of life, not just standing over to the side watching it go by, but being a part of the change that's going on. It may be even more dramatic than that. You may find that your career is something that no longer feeds your soul, but rather is sucking the soul out of you. And you need to change that in some way. And for some people, that's an incredibly dramatic experience. It may be moving to another part of the country. You find that living in one place doesn't quite suit you. Some people like humidity, some people don't. Some people like the heat, some people like the cold. Why, I don't know, but some people do. I like the snow a little bit. But it may be that where you're living isn't working for you. And we can take the initiative to change that. That can be your initiative to do that. Your participation in living the evolving life. And you have that authority by saying, I will. Let me mention one other thing here that I think is important about will. I've often had people come in for counseling who are trying to change something in their life. And they say, you know, I can't do it. I can't change my diet. I can't change whatever it is. I don't have enough willpower. And it came to me one day to realize that the problem is not that you don't have enough willpower, it's because you have too much. Or more accurately, it's because your willpower is pointed in the wrong direction. Because for you to do something that is harmful for you, or do something that is not good for you, you have to overcome the built-in tendency for goodness and wholeness and health that's in you. And a weak person could not do that. You have to be strong to overcome that innate sense of wholeness that is in you to do something that's not good for you. So can you see why I would say that it's not a matter of not having enough will, it's a matter that your will is pointed in the wrong direction. You're using that deciding, choosing power to choose something that's not good for you. And it takes strength to do that. It probably takes more strength to be bad to yourself than it does to be good to yourself. Chew on that one a little bit. So we have the opportunity of saying, I will live the evolving life. Again, that may be subtle, it may be dramatic. I've known people who changed their names because something going on within them that worked for them. So we need to remind ourselves and keep ourselves mindful of that power that we have of will. I will live the evolving life. I will choose that which takes me down a new path. I will choose that which makes my life different. I will choose this instead of that. I will choose these people instead of those people. I will choose this job instead of that job. That's the power that we have, and too often we let it slide by. We don't claim what is ours, be able to make a difference in our life, and it's yours. Now, again, I'll be speaking next week about challenges. And there are things that happen in our lives that we don't have any control over. There are things that happen that we would consider terrible and awful and painful and very unpleasant. And we'll take a look at those later. Even when that's happening, you have the choice of standing there and letting it run over you or run by you or doing something to change it, to make it different, to make you different. That is yours. And nobody can take that away from you. It belongs to you. Claim it. Use it. I will live the evolving life. And I will caution you, as I often do when I tell people, that when you say yes to spirit, you better fasten your seatbelt, because things tend to happen. So I would challenge you to say, okay, spirit, bring it on. Here I am. I will live the evolving life. Show me the path. Open the door. Reveal to me what is there that needs to change, that I need to do differently. What would take me to a new place in my life, in my consciousness? And we can do this because of our consciousness as an individual. Now, our consciousness is, as I said in the beginning, seemingly separate from God. It's not. It is irrevocably connected with Source. But it appears in our living here in this three-dimensional reality that we are separate, but we are not. We always have that line of energy that connects us to Source. And it is that energy that you use to exert your will, to point your will in the direction that it needs to go. And claim the fact that you are the one who makes decisions about your life. You are the one who makes the choices. That is powerful. And it's uncomfortable sometimes accepting that responsibility, but it is nevertheless there. It gives us the opportunity to do what we are guided to do with ourselves. And when we do that, we make a difference in the world. So I encourage you this week to give thought to that. I will live the evolving life. When the opportunity comes up to choose change, choose it for a change. Pun intended. When you have the opportunity to do something different, do something different. You have the chance to listen to some kind of different kind of music, do so. Read a different kind of book. Watch a different kind of movie. Talk to a different kind of people. Find an atheist and have a conversation. That's enlightening, I'll assure you. But there's so many ways that you can put this in motion. There's so many ways that you can say, I will live the evolving life. Opportunities in front of you all the time. And my prayer for you is that this week in particular, as we have our focus on will, that you will see many, many opportunities of evolution in you and around you. And I see you taking those opportunities to make a difference. Let me close with those same two quotes with which I opened. When completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, but then we shall see face to face. I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And from Charles Fillmore, the will is the executive faculty of the mind, the determining factor in man. What man wills or decrees comes to pass in his experience. I will live the evolutionary life. I will live the evolving life. I will live the evolving life. May you do so. God bless you, my friend.
And now is the time when we take an offering, only right now we ask that you just get up and put your gift in the offering plate. You know, Unity churches rely on love offerings. We don't have a fee for membership. I don't know if that will change someday or not. I know with the High Holy Days coming up in Judaism, you must pay for a seat to attend the services. So I'm not threatening you. But of course, we run on money just like everything else does. The thing is, part of our living and evolving life is that 11 years ago now, we determined upon being in this property that was run down and abandoned, almost abandoned, but not abandoned by Unity. We were still a Unity church. We were determined to create a safe, transparent, healthy, happy spiritual community. And we have done that. And we have done that through all of you, through all of us. Each one, we ask you to live the evolving life by realizing nothing is truly free. No matter what you're getting, something at the grocery store, give your money and give a smile. Picking up food at the takeout, leave a little tip. When you're dining in, leave a bigger tip. You see, all the rewards of living the evolving life are because it works for you. You will feel better. You will be more in the flow. So to those of you who give regularly, we thank you. To those who have made a pledge of giving a certain amount every week or month, we thank you. And for all of you who may be new and just, you know, taking advantage of listening here and there, we ask you to send your donation in too. As we see all of these various shows of support, it encourages us to keep our programs going, to supply you with a true spiritual home. So let us think of our gifts today and all our giving. We know that we appreciate all that we have in our life. We use our will to wisely determine our finances, determine all of the situations in our life so that they work within the good of God's flow. And with gratitude that all that we receive, we put forth to good use, with gratitude for all that we receive, we say blessings to each and every one. Whether you give or you don't give, our love is there, and Unity of Pompano is